Look upon every enemy action as a revelation. Every attack and maneuver discloses motive, means, and intent. Should the foe's strike be successful, unless it results in your defeat, it is now the most detailed knowledge in your possession of the enemy's tactics, weapons, and strength. Remember that the enemy is also learning from you. It is the consciousness of this accumulation of knowledge that becomes the critical point. The commander whose understanding is swiftest and most finely developed will turn the enemy's strength into a weakness and march to victory. Gilliman for A Hermeneutics of Strategy, 96-34-3. Chapter 7. Salvation, Deployment, Survival. The gunships flew over the battlefield once before landing their troops. They pounded the slope with Thunderhawk cannons and cluster bomb payloads. Gilliman watched from the side hatch. A huge cloud of flame and dust rose up, expanding fireballs sending out a storm of debris. For hundreds of yards, the approach to the pyramid became a new hell of destruction. To the west, the artillery bombardment continued. The movement of the orcs was disrupted. Gilliman saw them scatter in confusion, change direction, collide. The flow of the green tide became turbulent. Thousands of bodies littered the broken landscape. It was a good start. It was only a start. The orcs covered the slope. They were still closing with the pyramid. From this side, the true extent of the damage was visible. Most of the west side of the structure had fallen, leaving a huge mound of rubble leading up to a gap hundreds of feet wide. Orcs were leaping from boulder to boulder as they climbed the rubble before leaping into the pyramid. Even with the interdicting fire of the Thunderhawks, the orcs were flooding inside.
"The pilots want to bombard the entrance," Gage voxed.
"Permission denied," Gilliman said. "Banzor and Empion are lucky the pyramid is standing at all. We will do nothing to bring it down on their heads."
"Understood."
"One more strafing pass," Gilliman ordered the gunship pilots. "Then prepare to land us. Ultramarines, make ready to jump. We strike on the downslope run." Aboard Massali Spear was an armory reserved for Gilliman's use. From the ornate, gleaming brass chest, he took the Hand of Dominion. He donned the power gauntlet. He flexed his fingers. The fist of crimson and blue crackled. Energy coruscated around its form, as if hungry to be unleashed. The choice of weapon was a reasoned one. It was the right weapon for the type of landscape and the type of war he was about to wage. But it was an emotional choice, too. A fact he had forced himself to confront and reflect upon before he gave himself license to indulge in it. He had had enough of the orcs. Most of all, he had had enough of how their savage, unthinking way of fighting was reversing his gains, and doing so by engaging in a way of war that was a mocking mirror image of his strategies. The orcs would not win. They would be crushed. He would crush them with his own hands. The gunships finished their uphill run. Smoke and billowing dust rose in their wake. They turned, Massali Spear in the lead, and roared back down, flying within a few yards of the ground. Their sponson-mounted heavy bolters hammered the ground ahead, clearing the path of the orcs that had survived the bombs and the cannons. The horde continued to arrive from the north, but there was a gap now. Massali Spear slowed midway through the dark, choking cloud. Dust whirled in violent eddies as the gunship blasted its hull nozzles down and forwards, approaching a hover. Gilliman leapt from the side door. His sons followed. In a few seconds, 30 ultramarines deployed onto the rubble. Massali Spear's engine surged and it flew up, angling towards the north. Behind it, other gunships were already disembarking their warriors. In less than a minute, the full complement of the first chapter's infantry was on the ground. The gunships resumed their bombardment, moving north and east, beyond the artillery barrage, to hit the orcs as they emerged from the exposed hive of tunnels. The wind of Thoas blew away the smoke. The orcs appeared, the tide frothing over the rubble to the north. The leading brutes howled a challenge at the sight of the wall of ultramarines. The greenskins behind picked up the roar. It spread. In an instant, the shattered slope resonated with savagery's call to war. It was louder than the bombardment. It was a long, throat-tearing ululation, the voice of a species that lived for the joy of war and would revel in that joy until its last warrior died. And that, Gilliman thought, is why we will exterminate all of these brutes. He raised the hand of dominion, and he answered the orcs with a roar of his own. He wanted them to understand what they were dealing with. His sons joined him. The roar of the ultramarines was a deep, powerful bellow. It was the sound of nobility enraged. It was the sound of savagery's doom. Gilliman charged, the Invictari at his side. On his right, further up the slope, Gage led another forward wedge of Terminators. The rest of the legionaries followed a moment behind. The ultramarines came for the orcs not as a wave, but as a wall, a human siege blade with battering rams to the fore. The perception of the orcs as a single solid mass dissolved as Gilliman drew closer. The terrain prevented anything like the density of fighting in the plain and in the tunnels. The slope was steep. The footing was treacherous. Smashed, jagged rocks varied in size from loose, rolling scree to slabs the size of gunships. Gilliman barreled straight at a loose cluster of huge brutes. They had drawn together as they saw him, each monster wanting to claim his head as their prize. He opened fire with the Arbitrator, spreading his fire between the five giants. Armor shattered. One orc fell when a shell slammed through its eye and its brain exploded out of the back of its skull. The others were wounded to a blind rage. Streaming blood, they hurled themselves at Gilliman, vaulting over boulders. They were beyond reckless. Gilliman met them with controlled, strategic wrath. The first orc reached Gilliman a second before the others. It was twice his height, a being of uncontrolled, uncontrollable fury. Gilliman hit the warlord with the hand of dominion. The gauntlet slammed into the orc's ribcage with a flash of azure energy. It punched through the greenskin's body with the force of a meteor. It incinerated flesh and muscle. It pulverized bone. Gilliman angled his strike downwards, and his blow went straight through the orc. His fist came out the other end, through the orc's spine, and struck the boulder behind. The light was dazzling in the somber dusk of the mountains. The shockwave blew up the boulder and the orc. It knocked the nearest greenskin flat. The other staggered, blood fountaining from its nose and ears. Its howl was now one of pain. It clutched its head. Gilliman took it down with a quick burst of the Arbitrator. The last tried to rise. Gilliman slammed the hand of dominion down again. Rock and orc were vaporized in the blow. The earth shook as the impact rippled outwards. Boulders shifted. Debris rolled down the slope. A precarious heap of granite collapsed, starting a new slide, knocking more orcs off their feet, crushing their howls into silence as the rock gathered momentum down the slope. Their helmet crests waving in the eternal wind, the Invictari incinerated greenskins with plasma pistol blasts. They ran through and dismembered any who managed to get close with power swords. The blades hummed and flashed. They were works of beauty and elegance. Gilliman appreciated art, and he understood its worth in the battlefield. It was the signifier of greatness, of the superiority of the warrior honored to wield the object whose worth exceeded its ability to kill. But more than art, more than beauty, Gilliman valued precision. The power swords were the right weapons for the right warriors. In the hands of the Invictari, they were the art of war crystallized into a simple, murderous form. Orcs died. With plasma bursts and power gauntlet concussion waves, their deaths were brilliant flashes in the twilight and the cracking toll of a stony bell. The flares were bait. The currents in the greenskin tide shifted. Brutes who had been rushing to the promise of battle in the pyramid now charged towards the closer, brighter fight. The bellows of their dying comrades were a summons rather than a warning. Gilliman saw the shift, saw the growing number of enemies heading towards him, and he was satisfied. Theoretical. The orcs will turn from besieging Banzor if a more immediate target presents itself. Practical. Hit them hard and be as visible as possible. Now they came. Gilliman and Gage's wedge formations hit them first. Gilliman repeated the principle of the assault on the plains, forcing the orcs to come together in an effort to stop his advance and tearing out the heart of the hordes. Behind came the long, deep line of legionaries, their steady stream of bolter shells, rockets, and flamers meeting the orcs that ran on. The howls of the orcs became more and more outraged. The horde came for the first chapter.
"Movement behind us," Gage voxed. "Some of them are pulling out of the pyramid to fight."
"Good," said Gilliman.
"We'll be surrounded soon."
"Chapter Master Banzor," Gilliman voxed. "What is your status?"
"The pressure is starting to ease."
"Can you link up with Empion yet?"
"He will soon," Empion said.
"We can see you, brother," he told Banzor.
"Then we will join you on the slopes, Primarch,"
Banzor said. No, said Gilliman. Break out south. Reinforce Atreus at the next pyramid. What we had hoped to do for you is now your task. March south and end the war on that front.
Habron broke in. A Thunderhawk transport had Flame of Illyrium in its hold as it circled the battlefield. The Tech Marine was deploying the scanners of the Explorator from the air.
Lord Gilliman, he said. Contact from the 22nd.
On the Kvaskor?
No, from beneath the rock slide. Word from Loxias of the 221st. Chapter Master Iasus and some elements of his force have survived.
Can they be reached?
I am working to determine that. I am not in direct contact with the Chapter Master. Loxias is acting as a relay for as long as he can.
Do what you can. If possible, find an extraction point.
On the command network, Gilliman voxed.
The 22nd is still with us. We march to the north, Ultramarines.
He drove the Hand of Dominion through another orc. Its followers stumbled in the shockwave, then died as the Arbitrator spoke again. Behind, Gilliman sensed a shift in the rhythms of bolter fire. The legionaries were beginning to counter the attackers coming from the pyramid. Under the dark grey sky of Thoas, in the light of stars neither setting nor rising, the orcs in their thousands rushed through artillery and gunship barrages. A new avalanche, one of flesh and rage, rushed to bury Gilliman.
Theoretical, Hyrax thought, then stopped. Theoretical, he began again.
His thoughts stuttered, stumbled into formlessness, and looped back. The word revolved through his mind, a refrain without purpose. He stood in the center of the strategium, his back to the tacticarium table, gazing blankly at a pict screen. He took in nothing from the screen beyond a vague shifting of colors.
Theoretical.
Useless repetition. The dull, cold, hammering toll of grief and anger. Cirrus was gone. Old friend. Old comrade. Old ally. His belief in Hyrax as the proper chapter master of the 22nd had been absolute. His judgment had been flawed. In the final moments before Vox contact with the 22nd had been lost, Hyrax had heard Iasus demanding Cirrus cease the heavy armor fire. Then the pyramid vanished. The Vox went silent. A mountain had fallen. Hyrax mourned his comrade. His anger initially coalesced around Iasus, but Iasus had been correct. Cirrus had been the author of his own doom.
Theoretical. Cirrus was deficient in his application of reason.
Hyrax's thoughts moved out of their spiral. They began to find direction again.
Practical. Correct your path where it too closely resembles his.
Captain.
Hyrax's eyes focused. He looked right. Kletos had entered the strategium.
What is it, legionary?
Hyrax said.
What we're hearing about the war. Is it true?
Hyrax wondered how long he'd been in a fugue state, if there had been time for news of the disaster to spread from the bridge.
Yes,
Hyrax said.
Yes,
he snapped.
The position held by the 22nd has been destroyed. There are no signs as yet of any survivors.
Cletus swore.
He should never have been our chapter master. We should be down there. If he hadn't... The fault was not that of chapter master Iasus,
Hyrax said. Cletus fell silent.
Captain Cirrus made an error of judgment, one that he could have avoided had he fully applied our Primarch's philosophy.
He knew this to be true. Cirrus had been reckless. He had disobeyed an earlier order. Hyrax could imagine the situation must have been extreme to push Cirrus to make that mistake, but it could not have been the result of applied reason.
Are we all that remains?
Cletus asked after a moment.
Perhaps. What are your orders? I will make contact with the Primarch. His orders will be mine.
He trailed off, his eye caught by the pict screen he had been staring at when Cletus arrived. It displayed the tracked movements and concentrations of the orcs. The topography of the map had refreshed itself a few moments before to account for the new physical reality on the planet. Despite the destruction, the orc horde in that position showed very little reduction in density and numbers.
Why there?
Hyrax wondered.
Captain,
said Cletus. Hyrax pointed at the screen.
Why are there so many orcs here?
Large hordes were attacking the chapters at the other pyramids, but here was where they were most numerous.
Chance?
Cletus suggested. The idea was not unreasonable. Orcs were unpredictable, partly because their actions were so often dictated by random events. The right topographical dip could change the course of an entire horde's rampage. Even so, the solution felt wrong.
I don't think so, Hyrax said. There have been more orcs in this region of the mountain chain from the opening moments of the campaign. There must be something attracting them to the region.
His eyes widened. With a curse, he turned to a screen on the other side of the strategium. He found what he was looking for immediately.
Look, he said to Cletus,
tapping the screen with a finger.
The radiation blooms over that region are anomalously high. You theorize a correlation. I dismiss coincidence, certainly. Why would the radiation levels there be so high? That is the key question.
There were traces along the entire mountain chain, and the reports sent back to the fleet by the Tech Marines described evidence pointing to the fortress having fallen in a war. All the signs of damage, though, were many centuries old. The radiation levels around the North Pyramid were so high, it was as if the war were not over in that sector.
Theoretical, he said. There is an ongoing source of radiation somewhere in that vicinity.
Caused by the orcs?
Doubtful. More likely caused by something that is attracting them.
The conjecture crystallized. It gathered weight, becoming a true theoretical.
Vox, he called to the bridge. I need to speak with Lord Gilliman.
The shaft ended in a new warren. Iasus wondered how many sub-levels there were. Had the people of Thoas once burrowed as far as the core? These passages were narrower than the ones above, and the ceilings were lower. Many had collapsed, too. Some of the damage looked ancient, but much was new. Dust still filled the tunnels. The air grated against Iasus's teeth when he inhaled. The snarls and heavy footsteps of orcs echoed everywhere. There were no greenskins at the junction beneath the shaft. Burrus was the first to join him. He looked around, listening.
Are we surrounded?
He asked.
We may well be, Iasus said. They infest these passages. Are they looking for us? I don't think so. I don't think they know we're here. Though they will before long. Why are they here?
Burrus moved to one side as more and more of the company dropped from the ladder and out of the shaft.
Perhaps heading for other combat zones. They know these tunnels well, after all. Chapter Master, said Loxias. I have made contact. The rest of the Legion knows you're alive.
Well done, brother. Are there orders?
Lord Gilliman wants you to pull out.
We would like nothing more. Is he aware of our situation?
He is. I'm attempting to find a path for you.
Your senses can reach this far?
Hardly. But in conjunction with the Explorator Augury Web of First Company, we can guess better.
Loxias went quiet. His voice was growing weaker. At each silence, Iasus wondered if no more would be said. He was about to call the Tech Marine's name when Loxias spoke again.
I have a possible route, he said. Head southeast of your current position. A crevasse was opened during the rock slide.
Can you be more precise?
The tunnels are a maze here. Many have collapsed, and the ground remains unstable. Getting an accurate reading of what is intact is beyond our means. The crevasse is a long one, though. If you keep to the heading, you should encounter it.
All right. Thank you, brother. Courage and honor.
Courage and honor, Chapter Master.
The remains of the 221st headed southeast. The route was broken. Tunnels crossed and twisted. They ended suddenly in heaps of fallen stone, and the ultramarines doubled back. The sounds of the orcs grew louder. The growls bounced and echoed, growing louder. These orcs were closer, though there was no way to tell where they were or how many. They seemed to be an infestation, vermin filling the veins of Thoas. Iasus reached an intersection running east and west. He turned east. He saw orcs 100 feet down. They carried crude promethium torches to light their way. The space stank of fumes and greenskin musk. These orcs were not just passing through to a battle. They had been in this sector a long time. They had some reason to wish to be deep below the surface. The orcs saw the ultramarines. They're in our way, Iasus said. Bolter fire slammed into the greenskins. The two forces raced towards each other. As Iasus plunged his power sword into the nearest orc, he wondered how long he and his chapter would continue to move forwards. There would no longer be a question of holding the line. The ultramarines would advance, or they would die.
I'm listening, Gilliman said to Hyrax.
He had his back to a large boulder. The hand of Dominion punched an orc with such force the greenskin exploded, drenching the area with a spray of liquefied flesh and vaporized blood. He put shells through the chests of another three, leaving holes the size of his fist. The killing was automatic. He could steal a few seconds from the march forwards to hear what the captain of the destroyers had to say.
Your sector shows abnormally high radiation levels along with the most significant concentration of orcs. The tunnel network also goes much deeper than we suspected, beyond our ability to scan. Deduction. The source of the radiation is also the lure for the orcs. The network, furthermore, is a former military installation. Theoretical. There is a large cache of weapons beneath the surface near your location.
What is your practical, Captain?
Deployment of the second destroyers to find and secure the weapons while intervening on behalf of our chapter master.
Agreed, Gilliman said.
He could almost hear Hyrax's look of surprise through the vox.
Deploy via drop pod to the coordinates Habrom will supply. Wait for my authorization before descending into the complex.
By your command,
Hyrax said, and signed off.
Why have you authorized this? Gilliman asked himself.
He turned and punched the boulder behind him. The explosion hurled large, jagged pieces of shrapnel in all directions, impaling and crushing more orcs. He moved into the space he had opened up, then headed north again, marching in lockstep once more with the Invictari.
I authorized the deployment because reason calls for it, he thought. A fresh company will reinforce our efforts and secure the survival of the rest of the 22nd chapter. I authorized it because Hyrax specifically referred to his chapter master. I authorized it because Hyrax's proposed mission is one of recovery, not annihilation. I authorized it because the captain of the second destroyers is capable of reflection. His deductions are sound. He has theorized well. I authorized the deployment because it was rational and needful.
Orc bullets thudded against his armor from behind. He turned to see that a mob of the beasts had made a concerted charge and overwhelmed the legionaries at his rear. Two lay still. Three others were fighting for their lives, being borne down by the blows from heavy chain axes. He fired into the attackers and headed back. He drove the power gauntlet into the ground just before he reached the struggle. The ground bucked. Debris flew. The ripple through the earth knocked the orcs off balance. That was enough for the legionaries to rise and enact their vengeance.
Why did you authorize Hyrax? Gilliman thought again.
He was not satisfied with his answers, though they were correct and true. He marched up the slope once more, shooting into the green tide.
I authorized it because of a hunch, he admitted.
He thought Hyrax was right. He did not know what weapons they would find, yet already he suspected they would be foul. If that were true, the destroyer's expertise would be useful. But why? There was a deeper instinct, a suspicion that he refused to name. He sensed it at the back of his mind, lurking at the edge of consciousness, threatening to form out of the fog of half-thoughts and demand to be articulated. He turned away from it. The suspicion was unprofitable. It served no purpose. It never would, unless it became a reality. Until then, his conscious reasons for deploying the second destroyers were enough. Relentless, the suspicion pounded at the wall he erected. It called to him from the other side. It demanded to be heard.
You will not like what waits below.